Okay, thank you very much. So the talk this afternoon represents a bit of a summary of a five-year trial that was initiated in 2008. And I'd like to acknowledge the authors that are indicated here that are collaborating on that project. So there's lots of interest in figuring out what is the optimal rate of nitrogen from a profit point of view, and also trying to limit an impact. The challenge is, and it's been mentioned a couple times already in this session, that we can't really determine what economic optimal nitrogen rate is till the end of the season. And frequently when we make our fertilizer nitrogen recommendations, there's a fair amount of uncertainty at that point as to what the actual economic optimal nitrogen rate is going to be. We also know that economic optimal nitrogen rate is going to be determined by management, soil properties, genotype, weather, and interactions of those factors. Now, there's been a number of people that have acknowledged that weather is a factor. Challenge is that for a lot of studies, when they conclude that weather is a factor, these studies are often confounding weather with some other management, soil, or genotype factor. And so the true effect of weather is a little bit unclear at times. We do know that weather affects soil end processes, okay, mineralization and losses and crop demand. So it's an obvious thing that, yes, indeed, weather is going to be a factor. So the outline of my talk, I'm going to describe a long-term five-year NRAE trial that demonstrates the magnitude of weather effects on year-to-year variation in economic optimal nitrogen rate. Okay, and that's, I think, the key part of this talk, looking at trying to isolate weather effects. I'm also going to talk a little bit about interactions with in-application timing and in-history, but that's certainly very much a secondary component of this talk. And in fact, it's interesting, but perhaps less exciting. I'm going to evaluate whether the Ontario General N-Recommendation System, which is our recommendation system in the province, which is based on the nitrogen database already described by Greg Stewart, consists of 1,300 plus response curves generated over the last 50 years, and is used to predict N requirements, and also compared to the pre-Cydrus nitrate test, and then talk a little bit about some implications. So anyways, the long-term nitrogen rate trial started in 2008. The location is University of Guelph, Laura Research Station. I don't have the obligatory map of Canada, but I've got the obligatory map of Ontario with the a star showing where the Laura Research Station is, and in the center picture, just a aerial view of that station. The location of the trial is on a well-drained silt loam soil, 4.5% soil organic matter. Average precipitation for that region is about 874-900 millimeters. Okay. It's a factorial randomized complete block design with four replicates. The experimental unit consists of six rows, 0.76 meter by 17 meters. And so the whole site area is approximately 4.5 acres. Okay, and so that's kind of the area where we're year after year looking at nitrogen response. It's a continuous corn system, and it's moldboard plowed each year. In that trial, we've got five nitrogen fertilizer rates, 0, 28, 57, 115, and 188. And the whole trial receives 30 kilograms of starter. So the actual nitrogen rates are 30, 58, 87, 145, 218. Okay. There's two application timings at planting and at side dress, about the 6 to 8 leaf collar stage. And at each of those timings, we inject urea ammonium nitrate with a unit or similar to it on the bottom right-hand side. And so we decided that we wouldn't confound timing with application method or application nitrogen form. And so both timings receive the same material and placement. There's two nitrogen fertilizer histories. One is continuous. That's where the 0, 28, 57, et cetera, have occurred for a period of 5 years continuously. The second one we call uniform, for lack of better terms, and it's where the previous N rate is 115 kilograms N per hectare. So instead of a continuous zero, the zero has always followed a 115. The 28 has followed a 115. Just to give you a bit of, make sure you understand the concept here. So we've got 20 treatments for each side dress factor and 20 for the planting factor. 2000 was a setup year where we examined the uniformity of the site. Then, like I said, we've got continuous treatments where it's 5 years of zero, 5 years of 28, 5 years of 57, 5 years of 115, etc. And then we've got the uniform treatments where the rates follow a uniform preceding end rate. Then we flip over to this side, the rates follow a uniform, end rate. So in that way, like I said, it's our attempt to isolate the effect of weather. So we've got the same soil, the same management, same hybrid, looking strictly at the effect of weather. We measure soil nitrate concentration, etc., plant tissue, but the main focus of this talk is in fact on some data related to grain yield, grain moisture, and the economic optimal nitrogen rates, where we use a corn price of $177 per ton, about $4.50 a bushel, nitrogen price of $1.43 a kilo, I think that's about 65 cents a pound, for a price ratio of 8.1. So getting into the results, kind of a busy slide, but the main thing here, and we're mostly interested in the economic optimal nitrogen rate, I'm not going to talk too much about agronomic efficiency, recovery efficiency, etc. But the interesting thing is here is that when it comes to the economic optimal nitrogen rate, timing has no effect over the 5 years. It didn't make a difference if we applied side dress or pre-plant. They were not statistically different in any of the 5 years or any of the interactions with timing. As well, history had no effect. So if we used a response curve that was generated based on the continuous 0, 28, etc., or we use a response curve based on a 0 following the 115, the 28 following the 115, it made no difference. The economic optimal rate was not affected by timing or history. The thing that was consistently being affected by affecting economic optimal rate was year. Year also affect our measures of efficiency as well. And so to move on, and so the key take home of this is that the manage that we imposed on nitrogen did not affect our economic optimal nitrogen rate, but years certainly did. If we look at the five response curves, ranging from 2009 to 2013, they're obviously very different. It is interesting that they emerge from a very similar yield level. They're all at the 30 kilogram N per hectare rate, about 6 tons per hectare. But you can see that at the plateau rate, the yields are very different. But most importantly, what you see here, and this indicates economic optimal nitrogen rate, it varies from about 140 kilograms N per hectare to 244 kilograms N per hectare. So we've got a variation, we think, just due to weather of over 100 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. And again, this is what our recommendation system ideally needs to try to capture. Okay? And so that's the next question. How well did our recommendation systems do to predict that kind of variation? And so what we did was we looked at the side dress economic optimal nitrogen rate. And again, it's slightly different from what's in the previous slide, but again, it's not statistically different from pre-plant. And we compared to the general recommendations, and the Ontario general recommendations, they account for yield, maturity date of the hybrid, soil texture, the previous crop, nitrogen corn price ratio, that's put in, and when we put those into the Ontario General Recommendations, the calculator, it estimates that we need 145 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Obviously, as you can see here, it is tending to underestimate the requirement. It's consistently underestimating the requirement in this case. Now, having said that, the Ontario General Recommendations, the only way they can factor in weather is by adjusting your yield estimate. Okay, and admittedly, we're using a constant yield estimate of 10 ton per hectare. If we were to adjust yield estimate, that would create some variation in the Ontario General Recommendations. The yield adjustment factor for the Ontario General Recommendations is, I believe, 13 to 14 kilos per ton. 2013, we had a maximum economic yield at the optimal end rate of 13 tons. 2012, we had an optimal yield, or our yield at the optimal end rate of 6 tons. So we had a 7-ton variation in yield. The yield adjustment, if we knew the yield, that would tell you that we've got 7 times 13, 91 kilos N per hectare, where it could vary if we knew the actual yield. But again, in advance, we don't necessarily know the actual yield. The pre-sidress nitrate test, it really doesn't vary that much. It also very much underestimates or tends to underestimate. And this is kind of concerning because it is the test that is supposed to capture the variation. So what is underlying this year-to-year variation? Is it mineralization? Perhaps not in this case, because yield of low end rates are quite similar across years, suggesting that natural end supply is fairly consistent across years. So it may not be mineralization. You might think that it's end losses, but the fact is the planting and sidedress response curves are not significantly different in any year, including 2010, 11, and 13, that had above-average moisture. On top of that, the pre-plant soil nitrate five-year range was 6.2 to 8.6, fairly consistent. The sidedress soil nitrate range over the 5 years was 9 to 12.9, so there's not a lot of evidence of variation from year to year or losses, right? And on top of that, end stress across the years in this trial is not visually observed until probably V6 or V7. So there's no real evidence early on in the season that we're losing a lot of nitrogen. And if you look at the weather data, and I don't know if you can see this too well, but 2010 was a very wet year in May, June. Again, pre-plant and sidedress was very similar. 2011 was also quite wet. 2013 was quite wet as well. Again, no difference pre-plant sidedress in any of those years. No big difference in sidedress soil nitrate levels. And if you look at the intensity of rainfall events in 2013, 2011, 2010, you could almost argue that there's a similarity in frequency of intensity. And so it's not necessarily perhaps a distribution issue. Now, you do see that in 2013, in July, we received 131 millimeters, which is above average. But again, the crop is fully established. Evapotranspiration rates are high. It's not necessarily that, we've got a few large events. It's possible we're getting losses during that period, but it's unclear. So the next possibility is that it's crop end demand. The idea would be that more precipitation, higher yield potential, less precipitation, less yield potential. If this is true, this is a concern because this is largely determined after N application. And it is interesting that if we were to look at a simple relationship between cumulative precipitation June 1 to August 31st, a time period that would correspond with significant crop growth, it's highly correlated to our optimal N rate. And certainly the optimal N rate and yield as well are highly correlated with each other. And so it seems to suggest that What's driving this system is perhaps not the mineralization side, or driving the variation, not the mineralization side, perhaps not the end loss side, but it's perhaps the crop end demand side. Perhaps they're all working together, and we need to do some sort of modeling exercise to sort it out. But if you had to develop a hypothesis based on the observation, I think the hypothesis would be that it's crop end demand that is perhaps driving the system. And so the conclusions, economic optimal nitrogen rate variation due to weather, precipitation is large. I think that's obvious. On well-drained soils, precipitation may have a greater effect on crop end demand than on end loss processes. That may not be the case for poorly drained soils, but in this case, it seems to suggest that demand, crop end demand, is driving this. If that is true, it raises this point here that recommendation systems that incorporate forecast probability models may be required to address year variation in economic optimal nitrogen rate, because again, demand is driven by processes that typically occur after we apply our nitrogen. And so it necessarily means that we have to use some sort of predictive capacity. And it may also mean that there's going to be increasing benefit to delayed sidrous nitrogen timing. And more efforts required in that area. With that, I'll just throw up this slide to acknowledge some of the bodies that have funded this work, and I'll open it up to questions if there are any. Thank you. corn heat unit region, and we target that. How does that convert to growing degree days? I'd have to go back to my...
That's good enough.
That's good enough. You can make the connection.
Is ball boarding a common practice?
It's still quite common, absolutely. Yes.
Any more other questions?
Depending on the region, obviously. But there are regions where mold board is still the predominant tillage practice.
Yes, sir. The modeling exercise you proposed,
yep.
You seem to imply that water was going to be the driver, but the temperature also...
Absolutely. The biggest differences we observe across years, and that's why I focused on precipitation was precipitation, but you're absolutely right. There's an interaction with temperature, and I really think to sort out, you know, what's going on with this data set requires a modeling exercise, and it will include a temperature effect, absolutely.
Great, thanks a lot, Bill. Yep. Interesting data from Canada.